full packed schedule, so I want to keep this moving. So we have a quorum of the audit committee, and I now call this meeting of the audit committee of the Finance Commission of Texas to order pursuant to Chapter 551 of the Government Code. So our first agenda item is to review and approve the minutes of the April 15th, 2016 audit committee. These minutes were circulated to the members in the agenda packet. Are there any corrections to the minutes? Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye. Aye, whatever. Any opposed? No. The ayes have it and the motion passes. Okay. Discussion of the audit committee review of agencies' activities.
Yeah, for savings and mortgage lending, there are no outstanding audit issues.
Do I hear a motion to recommend that the finance?
So the Office of the Consumer Credit Commissioner outstanding audit findings report is on page 7. There's nothing listed currently. However, we'll be adding things from the reports today to that for the next meeting. On page 8, you begin to see the Department of Public Safety audit that we received related to our use of criminal justice information. And they've audited 5 areas: access, use, dissemination, storage, and security, and destruction. And in 2 of those areas, they had no findings. In 3 of those areas, they had findings. We've had a little bit of challenge with ensuring that we had clear understandings of their instructions and clear procedures on how to comply. We've asked them for some additional help on complying with some of their procedures, and you'll see that in our response on page 14, where we talk about the way that agencies unsubscribe from criminal history records, and it's a multi-step process, and typically it requires some back and forth, and so we've had a little bit of challenge with that. So we've asked for some additional help on that. But otherwise, I think, you know, most of it we've already responded to, but we'll be working on that last issue. And then the FBI came in at the same time, and my understanding is we're not getting a written report from the FBI, but that we are. We don't have it yet. It's not here yet, but we'll put it in when we get it. And then we had a audit by SORM, who is the State Office of Risk Management, and they look at HR policies and practices. They look at other risks that they see for the agency, such as they do building walkthroughs and whatever. They did their field work was concluded on May the 31st, so we'll be expecting a report from them sometime soon as well. And so that's all I have on outstanding audit findings.
And Madam Chair, for the Department of Banking on 19, we have the same situation, no current, but we do have some the DPS audit. Stephanie, you want to come up and talk about that? By the way, this is the first time these meetings are being streamed, so we're out there.
Hi, Stephanie Newberg, Texas Department of Banking. As Leslie mentioned, there were 5 areas that DPS looked at, and we had findings in 2 of those areas. I'm going to jump to page 27 of y'all's packet, which was our response, and you'll notice that we actually had 2 audits. Our application area was 1 audit, and our human resources area was the 2nd audit. For our applications area, the first thing that we were cited for is, and it really looks worse than it is, that we didn't have the authority to receive some of the criminal background checks that were sent to us. And on our website, to try to streamline processing of applications, you could submit your fingerprints to the FBI at the same time you were working on your application. And so there were situations where the fingerprints got to us before the application did. So in the eyes of DPS, we didn't have the authority to get that fingerprint because we didn't have the application in hand. And then there were some that people submitted their fingerprints, we assume for an MSB application, and then they never applied. And so we were asked to take it off our website, and we have taken it off the website, and now the process has slowed down somewhat now because you have to submit the application, and then you get the instructions to submit the fingerprints. So that's how we fixed that violation. The second one, and Leslie mentioned this a little bit, we call it rat back. And what a rat back means is once you get someone's criminal background information, you receive it going forward if there's another incident. If they are arrested for a felony or something like that, you would get notice. And we used that, or we thought that would be useful because on our money service business, more than anything, if you are convicted of a felony, you cannot be with the company and with the bank as well. But what happened is when we get an original application, there's probably 5 to 8 people that we do criminal background checks on. The best example is like a compliance officer. Compliance officers change, and while you're supposed to let us know within 30 days that you've changed a compliance officer and we vet the new one, sometimes we don't get it that timely. And so they found a situation where someone had left a company and we were still able to get rat back. We hadn't received any, but we were still able to. And so we could not, there was no way we could come up with 100% surety that we would always know that the ones that we had the ability to get rat backs on were actually the names that were still in the system, so we had to disenable the rat back. And now we will just go on. Our licensees are supposed to give us 30 days notice when they change or when someone's arrested, and we're gonna have to rely on that going forward. So that was sort of sad, but it was a finding, we had to do it. There were some training issues, and we have instituted a new tracking system to keep up with that better. I will let you know too, though, that if you don't take certain training, you're locked out of the system. Mm-hmm. So there were people that hadn't taken the training, but they were also locked out of the system and couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. But we've hopefully we fixed that a little bit. And then the other area in this audit was we, for years, have electronically stored our FBI information on our website or on our internal servers in our imaging system. This time we were told that was incorrect and that if we did it, all of our IT people had to be vetted through them, and that when someone falls off, you would have to go through this special delete process, and I think we talked about it called S-Delete, which was a very time-consuming exercise, and so we just decided it wasn't worth it, and we're not going to keep them in our image records at all. We're going to keep them in a locked file cabinet and go back to the manual way of keeping those records to eliminate that violation. Mm-hmm. On page 32 is the second audit that was done of our HR area. And we got the authority to do criminal background checks on all of our employees in September of 2013. Prior to that, there was a section in the government code that lets every agency do it for IT personnel, but we had a statutory change for the Department of Banking and got that authority. We began doing that and using what's called an ORI number, an originating agency identifier, and we used the HR or the IT identifier. We were unaware that we had to have a separate identifier for our employees. I will also mention that we've gone through an audit before this one, and nobody said anything, but now it's a problem. And okay, so we've been told that because it's a different section in the government code, we have to have a different ORI number. Not that we can't do it, have to have its own number. And so we have made the request for that. We've been told it takes 4 to 6 weeks. The FBI, we had to send it through the DPS, and then it goes to FBI, and then it comes back to the DPS, and then it will come to us. We received an email yesterday, though, that the DPS has said you can continue to use the IT number for your personnel until you get the new RI number. We were under the impression we had to stop completely, but they emailed us yesterday and said you can continue to use it. So that was good news. And then they also we had in here some of the same training issues as the other one. So If there's not any questions on that, there are a couple of other things, is we are in the beginning phases of our audit with the state auditor's office. I think we mentioned that last time, and I think you all each got a letter. I think there was a letter that went out to each of you. We hope that we are through the risk assessment phase of it. It's been a very voluminous process so far. We provided all the policies and procedures. There's been a lot of work on our income statement, just looking at ratios and changes on the balance sheet, ratios and changes. They've looked a lot at assessments. They've looked a lot at fines. They've come in and looked at our travel system, because we have our own in-house system that we've developed that transfers data to our internal system and into the state system for payment. So they've done a lot of work with that, a lot in the IT area. And so I called them yesterday and asked if there was any update that they wanted to give y'all. And the audit supervisor just said that they have wrapped up their audit risk assessment phase, and that they will be presenting to their executive management team what audit areas they think they will be reviewing, and that we should know that within the next couple of weeks. And I think their goal is to be finished by the end of August. But it has been very voluminous so far. Yeah, it's not been as fun as we expected. Lastly, we are all starting our process to work on our budgets for y'all. Our public hearing will be August the 4th. I think it'll probably be in the afternoon. The exact time hasn't been set. But because we have the webinar capability now, anybody that wants to listen into that public meeting will be able to do that. And so for the next 2 months, I think all the agencies will be busy working on our budgets for 17. Okay. Any questions?
I do have one question, and yes, I'm just curious. RAP back, RAP, BACK?
RAP.
RAP,
RAP. And then
like RAP sheet.
RAP back. And then back.
Got it.
Yeah.
No. So DPS does that. Out of curiosity, does NMLS do that?
Yes. RAP and
back.
So.
No.
Yes. In the new one, they will have that capability.
Yep. Yeah.
So if you need to recheck somebody, you have to go in
and
re-op versus it coming to you automatically.
And there's a fee for subscription, and they were deciding how long, whether it was a permanent or whether it had a life cycle.
And anybody's in NMLS right now will have to go back and be re-fingerprinted for it.
I was just curious compared to the DPS, since some of us agencies use DPS and some use NMLS. Yeah. Thank you.
But Leslie and I brought up at a policy committee on NMLS that if we're getting cited at a state level for not knowing exactly who is still in and who is still out, that's something they're really going to have to look at because they're not sure. I'm not sure they have the capability to know with 100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, on the NMLS, then, if you have to, it won't go back. You have to get fingerprinted. So will it grandfather back on those that already in the NMLS? Or
no, I think like when you have the fingerprint check done, you check the box. Okay, I want to get the ratbacks. And so if you did this fingerprint back here and you didn't check it for ratback, you got to get re-fingerprinted and start the.
All a notice that they're going to.
And there's a fee that goes.
And there, and there will be a fee for that.
So that'll
be ugly.
For you guys,
yeah.
Very busy.
Yeah.
But the one thing on the NMLS, if a person's no longer licensed with the state, you don't get access to those records anymore. And
that's
so
right.
We do cut it off for a must. Whether NMLS has access to that information.
And that can work on when it's an individual license, because you either have the license or you don't. But like in the money service business area, when it's all the officers and directors and the compliance officer, there's nothing in NMLS that distinguishes all those individuals. So I think they're going to have the same problem we had, that you're not going to be able to say that you know all those employees are still there.
Okay. So to add further confusion, because of the congressional change to the NMLS, to the SAFE Act, at the end of the year, we'll be able to use, particularly our money service business, we'll be able to get the background checks through the NMLS, and we will always have the ability to go through the state, but we can do that, which is a much more efficient system. Right now, we have the ability to do it, the legal ability to do it, but they're still working through the process, so we haven't been able to do any of them yet, but it's forthcoming.
I forgot too, back on the DPS, when Leslie mentioned FBI, the FBI came in right behind the DPS. We received our report earlier this week, and it had the ORI finding that we had to have the new ORI, and that we had fingerprints that we didn't have the authority for because we had it on our website. That was their two findings, and it what they did send it to us.
They did send a report.
They did send a report, but they don't require a response because I guess they're going to work off the DPS response because it was the same.
There was some question when they were here whether whether or not they were going to send one. They might work just off the DPS findings.
And it was very short, but it basically was like a DPS.
What are the frequencies of the DPS audit?
You know, since 2013, because I went when we got the law changed for HR, I went back and asked our HR department, why didn't we know this before? So between 2013 now, there's been at least one other audit. So maybe like every other year that they come in. I don't know that there's a set time period, but I do know from 13 to 16, there was one in the between that they didn't tell us we needed.
And they did not do all three agencies? They only did the two?
That was my next question.
Yes. SML uses NMLS, not DPS, for information.
We were scheduled, but we didn't have enough records to do the audit of because we don't utilize them as our source.
Yeah.
And so they took us out of the cycle.
So, Stephanie, one quick old school type question. Do people not ask for an application packet anymore to be sent to them, and if they do, then you get the fingerprint cards in there, so it's all online.
It's not in the actual packet. I don't know if Dan's in here, but I don't think anybody asks for application packets anymore because they are all online, and we say print it.
All the lawyers have it.
And we had to go back and redo all the forms because we had it out there and we had to take it off, and it's now like you have to submit everything. So I don't think it's in the application package, or I know it's not, but I don't think we hand send packets.
And we had to make that similar change previously that you can't leave those fingerprint cards out there until, you know, when they can't request them ahead of submitting an application anymore. They used to be able to.
Now, on fingerprints, aren't you doing it electronically now? You don't do it on the paper anymore?
You go to a place and do it, yeah. But we gave them the instructions, and you have to have a number to get in and do that, and then it knows to send it to us, and we can't give them that number now until. And some of the companies that had the number that are law firms that do it for, you know, lots of people, we had to go back and tell them, delete it, you can't use it anymore.
So you did do that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, because they already have it, they're going to be doing it without talking to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Or going
to
the
we
website.
Told them, we got our hands left, you have to stop. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Madam Chair, that's all of the agency's activity report, so we can go to item C.
Okay. So if we could have Garza and Gonzalez and Associates come and go through their audit of the various agencies, that'd be great.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Kim Lopez-Gonzalez, and other commissioners that are present. I'm Kim Lopez-Gonzalez, a partner with Garza Gonzalez and Associates, and also here today is Renee Gonzalez in the audience, and he is a senior partner with Garza Gonzalez and Associates. We do function, as you know, as the contracted internal audit. We have a contract to perform the internal audit functions for the Finance Commission, meaning the Department of Banking, the OCCC, and SML. So we do perform internal audits for all three agencies of the commission. And just to give you a little bit of background on how because we are presenting the internal audit annual report, so just to give you a little bit of background on how we came to this point, because this is the final stage of our functions that we perform for the agencies. Initially, what we do is we perform a risk assessment, and I know you just heard that term from Stephanie indicating that the state auditors are performing a risk assessment. Of course, theirs is different probably than what we do, maybe a little bit different, but we do that. That's the first step that we do. We perform a risk assessment. After our risk assessment, what we do is we prepare an audit plan, bring that audit plan to the audit committee for approval, and in that audit plan, it does spell out the different functions that we will be performing during the year. And as a result of that, we do perform the audits, we do perform the follow-up, and ultimately we prepare this annual internal audit report that we have to present to you today. The internal audit plan was approved by the audit committee during the December meeting, and subsequent to that, we performed, if you'd like to turn to page 35 of your packet, I will start with the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner at annual internal audit report. As I indicated, the internal audit plan for all three agencies is prepared at once, and the audit plan is submitted to the committee for approval. That was done in December of 2015. Subsequent to that, for OCCC, we performed field work for the one audit that was approved as part of that internal audit plan, and we performed that field work in May of 2016. And the way our process works is we perform field work on site and at our offices. We work very closely with management, and just to let you know that they were very cooperative. We got all our information timely. We weren't limited as our to our scope, or you know, we decide how many items we want to look at, what our procedures are going to be, what procedures we want to perform, and all the information was provided, and staff was very, management and staff was very cooperative and provided all information. And we then will draft up our draft internal audit plan, our draft annual or report. We provide that to management for their review, just to make sure that they are in agreement with the background, because you'll see that you do get a background of the area that we audit, and also of our findings and recommendations. And then what they'll do is they'll provide us with the management responses, which are also included in this report. And sometimes they may agree with our findings, and sometimes they may not, and we're okay with that, because of course, if they don't agree with it and they do have documentation that they provide subsequent to that, we will look at that, and sometimes we'll make the change, and sometimes we'll say, well, you know, we'll just agree to disagree, bring it to the committee, and let you, this body, decide on whether you want them to take action or you don't. But I believe in this report that management was in agreement with all our comments and recommendations, and their management's responses are included in here. So with that, I'll start with, as I indicated, page 35 is where the annual internal audit report is located in your board packet. And I'm not going to go through every page, but I will summarize some of the information that's included in this report. On page 37 of this report, this is our report to you. It indicates the area that we audited and the functions that we performed. And we did look at this year at the motor vehicle sales finance examinations area for OCCC, and we did look at it for the 7 months ended March 31st, 2016. So this is the audit for fiscal year 2016. As you know, their fiscal year ends August 31st. However, when we performed our audit, it was only through March 31st, 2016. In addition to that, we also performed a follow-up of any comments and recommendations that were not fully implemented as of last year, and that also is included in this report. On page 38 of the report, as I indicated to you before, there was an internal audit plan that was approved. And on the bottom of page 38, that is a summary of the audit plan. And within the approved 2016 internal audit plan for OCCC, we do have the motor vehicle sales finance examinations area as an audit, follow-up performed, and any other tasks that we may have been requested to perform. There were no other additional audit tasks that we performed this year. And then, as I indicated before, we also did perform a follow-up, and this report does meet the State of Texas Internal Audit Annual Report requirements as set out by the State Auditor's Office. Now, because it is kind of early in the year that we completed the annual report, the State Auditor's Office has not issued their 2016 format. However, we're following the 2015. We haven't seen any significant changes from probably for the last 3 years, so we don't anticipate any significant changes, but once we receive those and we do identify any significant changes, we will make any modifications that are necessary at that time. On page 40 of the report, pages 40 through 41 of the report, this gives you some background of the area that we audited. Of course, you know, it's just a summary of the background. There is a lot more things that go on in the background for performing this function. But just to give you, the reader, a little bit of background of the area, we do provide you with the background here on the organizational structure, the different licensees, and the licensees here under the second paragraph, it indicates here that the licensees are comprised of retail motor vehicle sellers and finance companies. And then under that, the examination process is delineated there. And under the first paragraph of the examination process, as of March 31st, 2016, there were 8,895 entities licensed with OCCC as MBSF licensees. On page 41 of the report, we give you some information here on the number of examinations that were completed as of March 31st, 2016. They completed 1,238 exams during that period, and with the different ratings here. Once the examinations are completed, there is a report of examination, and those reports are rated, or the entities are rated as 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, depending on the outcome of the exam. On pages 42 through 43, we document our audit objective, the scope, the methodology, and also the procedures that were performed as part of the audit. At the bottom of pages 43 all the way through page 45, this is just additional information that is included to meet the requirements of the annual internal audit report requirements. And then on pages 46 through 49, this is where we disclose our comments and recommendations. There were a total of 4 comments that we are reporting to you as part of the audit, having to do more with the policies and procedures, completion of the examination work papers. And as I indicated before, we do have the comment, we do provide our recommendation, and then management's responses are included in here, which, as I indicated before, they are in agreement with them, and they have already documented their plan to address those comments and recommendations. And I don't expect to go through them in detail, but if you do have any questions, I'd be happy to answer any questions on those. But before that, I can answer your questions in a little while, but on page 50 of the report, we also have our status, implementation status of the prior year comments, the follow-up that we performed on the 3 comments that were outstanding, and all of them have been implemented as of the date that we looked at that. In addition to that, on pages 51 through 52, again, this information is included to meet the requirements of the annual report as set out by the State Auditor's Office. And I just wanted to highlight to you on page 51 of the report, item number 8, proposed internal audit plan for fiscal year 2017. The State Auditor's Office does require that we, the auditors, do indicate what we plan to look at for the next year. And I think that helps them also when they're looking at the scope, their scope, perhaps if they're going to be auditing the entity, so that there is not any duplication between various auditors. Because we haven't performed a risk assessment for 2017, we are providing a proposed area just based on our 2016 risk assessment that was performed, and so we are including it there. When we do perform our 2017 risk assessment, of course, that may change at that time.
Do you guys just do one audit per year? Is that how that works? So, you know, I'm looking at page 44 and I have your risk assessment. And so you have, you know, the motor vehicles that you did this year, and then next year proposing the registration. So is it like a 3-year cycle on that, or how does that work?
We have our risk assessment is, we use 8 different risk factors.
Right.
So we go through that, that's one of the risk factors on how often it's been audited, not only by us, but maybe by other entities.
Okay.
But that's not the only.
So you take that into consideration, but there's only really one annual audit type that your firm does?
For the smaller of the 3 entities, which is SML and OCCC, we do only perform an audit of one area in addition to the follow-up and the annual internal audit report. For the Texas Department of Banking, we do perform 2. It's based on the budgeted amounts that we have to perform our functions.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Anybody have any questions for Kim on this one? Do we approve each separate audit report?
Yes.
So do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the Office of Consumer Credit Commission fiscal year 2016 annual internal audit report as prepared and presented by Garza Gonzalez and Associates?
So moved.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, the ayes have it. The motion passes. Okay, do we want to go to the next report?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
The next report that we're reporting is on the Texas Department of Banking. Again, it is the annual internal audit report. For this agency, we did perform 2 audits during the year. The first one being the IT examinations area. We performed field work during March of 2016 and issued a draft, got responses back during the month of April, and finalized that area of this report during April of 2016. The second area that we looked at was the imaging and records management area. We performed our field work during April of 2016, issued a draft, received management's responses, and finalized a report during the, I believe it was the last day of March of May that we finally finalized that report. So those two reports are, the results of those two reports are included in this annual internal audit report. On page 55 of that report, this is our report to you indicating that we did audit those two areas. And for the IT examinations area, we audited that for the 5 months ended January 31st, 2016. And for the records, for the imaging and records management area, we audited that area for the 7 months ended March 31st, 2016. Because there were no outstanding comments and recommendations from the prior year, there was no follow-up to be performed for the Texas Department of Banking. And this this report also meets the annual internal audit report requirements that set forth by the State Auditor's Office, of course, for the 2015 fiscal year. Page 56 of that report has the summary of the 2016 internal audit plan. And that indicates there what I just mentioned to you about the areas that we were authorized to perform as part of the approved internal audit plan. Pages 58 through 60 of the report provides you with the background of the first area that we audited, which is the information technology examinations area. As of February 26, 2016, the IT examinations area was responsible for the examination of 250 banks, 19 trust companies, and 3 technology service providers. So that was the whole population of the audit. So underneath there, they have, gives you the examination priorities. And after that, there's just the whole process that is that they go through for the examination. On page 59 of the report, just like to call your attention to the top of that report under examination. Just to let you know that there are some changes that are underway for this area as far as the work programs that are being used. So the IT examinations area has for a number of years utilized a work program called the IT RMP, and now starting in January 2016, they were beginning to implement a new work programs. So that is a change there. Subsequent to the examination, again, there is a report of examination that is prepared, and with the various ratings as well, as we talked about. They're different, but they do have ratings as we talked about for the other entity. On page 60 of the report, there is a report processing schedule which is indicated here, and there can either be a standalone IT examination report that is issued, or the IT part of it can be embedded in the safety and soundness report that is performed for a financial institution. And on pages 60 to 61 of the report, it gives you our audit objective, our scope, our methodology, and our procedures that were performed. And right now I'm going to ask you to turn to page 67 just to cover the comments and recommendations as related to this audit. Pages 67 through 69 discloses to you the comments, the recommendations, and the management's responses to the audit that was performed. And here the management's responses, they are in agreement with the comments and the recommendations, and they have provided you with their with what they plan to do to address those items. Do you have any questions on those first two? Because then I'm going to go back to the other report. So if you have any comments, I'd be happy. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to address those right now. Okay. On pages 62 to 63 of the report, this is the background to the second audit that was performed on the imaging and records management area. All state agencies are required to prepare what is referred to as a records retention schedule. This discloses all different types of documents that are retained by state agencies and the length of time that they are retaining them. The records, the imaging department, or the DOB, uses an imaging system to retain those records, so we also looked at that as well. And the records retention schedule is required to be approved by the Texas State Library and Archives Commission every 5 years. So the current records retention schedule is valid for DOB through July of 2019. So that is the current schedule that we were looking at. On pages 63 through 65, we do provide our objective scope and the methodology and procedures that we performed. And then pages 60, at the bottom of page 64 through page 66, this is the additional information that is required to be included in the internal audit report. And on pages 70 through 71, we provide four comments and recommendations. Again, our comments, our recommendations, and management's responses. And management is in agreement with the comments and recommendations and have provided what they are planning to do to address those. And I probably should indicate to you that not only, I failed to mention to this as part of OCCC, but also with DOB, both agencies, they've already taken steps to address them. They've indicated here that, you know, they've changed their policy or, you know, they're doing other things to address these. They have provided that to us, but what we'll do next year as part of our audit is we'll follow up on that and we'll make sure that what they were telling us is that was actually occurring. So then we'll provide our implementation status at that time.
Kim, it seems like some of these responses are, once the Intrex is in place, things will change, and so that will be part of your follow-up
to make sure that
the new system is doing all the things it's supposed
right.
to.
Right, okay. And you also notice on the OCCC that there's going to be a new examination tool,
right.
So hopefully when that is rolled out, then that will address some of the issues that have come up also.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the Department of Banking's fiscal year 2016 annual internal audit report as prepared and presented by Garza, Gonzalez, and Associates?
So moved.
Is there a second? Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next, we have a discussion of the and possible vote to recommend that the Finance Commission take action on the internal auditor contract for Garza, Gonzalez, and Associates for fiscal year 2017. Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission extend the internal auditor contract for Garza, Gonzalez, and Associates for fiscal year 2017?
Second.
Is there a second? Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. Report on activities relating to the Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund. Leslie?
There's a written report on page 77, and I don't, unless you have questions, I think it can stand for itself right now. We'll have more information next meeting.
Okay. All right, there's no action necessary. Concluding the Audit Committee meeting, there is no further business. This meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas is now adjourned, and the time is